Hello, this is Pastor Nate. It's actually Friday night. As I record this, I'm sitting in my office, as you can probably tell, and I am actually recording from my cell phone right now, which is precariously at the moment sitting on top of my laptop. So you can pray that it doesn't fall and that we make it through this together. But it's a blessing to be able, even through our internet and online resources, to be able to look at God's word together. I just want to thank you for tuning in here today. What is going on around the globe right now is really, frankly, unlike anything that I think any of us have experienced before. We are making history, and on the human level, it's crazy. I think it's unsettling and it's unpredictable. And unfortunately, in the midst of that, we can't even gather as a church right now, which is quite unfortunate, but it's a situation that we are in. And I want to just pose a question to you as we begin. Based on what we know of the Bible, what do you think God thinks of the fact that we are not corporately gathering right now? A couple things come to my mind as we look at our Bibles. Biblically, nothing can replace the corporate gathering of God's people together. There's just no way to truly do that. No matter what we do online, no matter how professional it is, which it's not, as you can tell. But no matter how good of a job we do, we just simply cannot replace being able to come together to sing, to worship, just to be in each other's presence, worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords together. So as I'm sure you've probably already imagined, as soon as we're able to safely do so, we plan to meet together again. And my hope would be that in this time, my hope and prayer would be that the inability to gather would actually give us a hunger and a thirst and a passion for that very thing. A renewed appreciation for something that, frankly, maybe as God's people, we would take for granted from week to week. I also think about the fact that it's easy for God's people to grow weary in well-doing, and maybe in some of the things like our setup week to week, renting a space and all the work that goes into that, the setup and tear down and just those different things, it's easy to grow weary in those. And yet I think by the time that we're able to gather again, those will seem so insignificant because this time is going to give us a renewed hunger to be back together again, worshiping the Lord. Biblically, I think that we know that there's no way that we can replace our corporate gatherings together. But biblically, we also know that we have a God-ordained obligation to honor and submit to our government, unless our government is asking us to do something unbiblical and contrary to what we know God wants us to do. And Romans 13, 1-7 makes that very clear, that the powers that be are ordained of God. And God's actually, he tells us, he's put those powers in place for your good and for my good, and for the good of society. I think that's something we want to remember at this time. I'm sure everybody's got a slightly different perspective on if things are being handled appropriately or if things are just a little bit being a bit overdone with the expectations. You have your opinion. I have mine. Everybody has their opinion. But at Beaumont Baptist Church, we want to take our responsibility to honor and submit to our government very seriously. And I hope that you'll do the same on the individual level. I received an email this week from someone I didn't know, someone I believe in the greater Edmonton area, and they were asking if we were going to have services this Sunday, and they were talking about all sorts of churches closing and basically implying that that wasn't right. And what this person said, well, Jesus spent time with sick people, and what's all the fear, and this is wrong, this isn't good. And I just brought up Romans 13, and I said, listen, God tells us to submit to our governing authorities, and as a church, that's important to us, and that's what we are going to do. And so I just encourage you personally, make sure you do that. Your testimony's at stake, the gospel's at stake, and so let's be exemplary in that regard. All right, so we can't corporately gather. We want to honor our government. So what do we do right now? I mean, really, what do we do? I think it's paramount for us that we keep being the church. We need to stick to the basics of the Christian life to the best of our ability. And I believe that the health of our church is really in this time of not being able to gather going to depend on how well we do the basics right now. A few months back, if you've been at our church, I preached a 5-part sermon series called Basic Christian Responsibilities. Hopefully you remember that sermon series at least a little bit. Having already looked at those basic responsibilities in depth, what I want to do here today is actually just fly over them, very much kind of a quick flyover of those things, not going into depth, but actually just kind of recapturing those again and making specific application to the situation that we currently find ourselves in. By the way, I've taken the outlines from those five sermons and I've combined them together into one larger outline that's been uploaded to the page that you got this video from as a PDF. And I actually would just encourage you right now to maybe even take a moment and pause this recording, download that PDF, maybe print it out so you can have it as we work through some scripture here together today. Some other scriptures I won't have time to get to are in that outline, and it may even be helpful as you take some notes. But it is paramount in this time that we keep doing those basic things, that we keep being the church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said this. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What is Jesus going to do right now with his church in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic? What is he going to do? And I can speak to that matter with great confidence, because Jesus has already told us what he's going to do. He's going to build his church, and nothing's going to stop that, and nothing is going to stand in the way of that. So I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. As Christ builds his church, I want to be right in the middle of that. And my plan to be a part of that work, even if I'm quarantined within the four walls of my home, which I am, and some of you are, my plan is to live out the basics of the Christian life. And I hope that that will be your plan too. So let's just kind of review what some of those are and make some applications to our current situation. First basic responsibility is that you must be meaningfully engaging with God as a passionate worshiper and disciple. Being a passionate worshiper and disciple of Jesus, it's not a Sunday thing. It's a 24/7 thing. It's a way of life. You must be passionately relating to God as a worshiper. Colossians 1 verse 16 says that all things were created through him. That's Jesus. If you look at the larger context of that chapter, that everything was created by Jesus. And it was created for Jesus. Which means that you and I and all of creation were made to bring pleasure and honor and glory to Jesus. We were made to worship. And God wants you to do that in some very specific ways. Typically right now on Sunday mornings, my four-year-old son and I hop in my big ugly truck and we show up at church early to help set up with chairs and songbooks and nursery supplies and materials and other items as well. And my son absolutely loves doing that with me. He loves riding in the truck. And I think one of the reasons that it's such a special privilege for him is because nobody else in our family gets to do it. Our girls are too young. They don't weigh enough. They can't sit in a booster seat yet. And a car seat won't fit in the back of the truck. So he's the only one that is old enough to ride in the back of the truck right now. And so it's just him and Dad. It's a special thing that we get to do together. He really likes it. And he actually really likes helping out once we get to church, setting up chairs and songbooks. And he's not always that efficient, but he loves it. And by the way, thank you to those of you who help my son serve, setting out juice boxes or letting him help you drag stuff to the nursery. He just loves it. And I know as a dad watching my son love that, I love it. That's a joy and a pleasure for me. But it's made me really burdened, I think, watching that my son actually see a bigger picture. Yeah, this is great. This is fun. It's a special time that we have and something he really enjoys. But there's something a whole lot bigger in this setup thing. So on those truck rides, I've been reminding him that we're going to church to set these things up so that we can worship Jesus today. And I've then been asking him, trying to teach him and then ask him, what are four big ways that we worship Jesus at church and with our lives? And I love turning around and kind of seeing him in the back seat and hearing him say, "We pray, we give our money, we sing, and we listen to the Bible." I love that. And those things are so basic. They are so simple, but they are the basic means by which we worship our Creator God. You were made to worship. And all four of those things that I just mentioned still need to be a part of our lives, even if we cannot worship in those ways corporately right now. You were made to worship. So pray. Worshippers pray. We know based on Acts chapter 2:42 that the early church devoted themselves to prayer. Are you praying right now? And I don't mean are you just petitioning God. I think we may even now at times more than other times petition God about our concerns. But are you not just petitioning him, but are you praising God in prayer, praising him for his attributes, for his characteristics, for his deeds, for his greatness, for his glory? You were also made to worship, so God wants you to give. Matthew 2, verse 11, I love this passage recounting what happened with the wise men when they first met baby Jesus. Matthew 2, 11 says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." They fell down and they worshiped him, and here came the gifts. That's what worshipers of the King do. They offer him gifts. They give. And obviously, we're not gathering. We're not passing offering plates right now. We're going to do our best to have some online giving options available, hopefully just within the next couple days online, and we'll tell you about those things. But we're going to do our best, even these times, to keep worshiping God by giving to him. You were made to worship, and so you should sing. And this is where it might get really awkward at your house. Mine do. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. I want to read this verse, and actually, I just find in this situation, this verse is hard to read. It actually just kind of makes me sad right now. It says, "Be filled with the Spirit," and it tells us what happens when we are. "Addressing one another." Who? One another. "In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart." We're singing to God, but this passage says that we sing to one another. I hope you miss that right now in these times. I hope you miss sitting with a larger group of believers and hearing their voices, all of us singing together, lifting up our voices to God. We can't do that right now. However, I'd still encourage you to sing. God still wants you to sing. Maybe you can sing some today if you haven't already as a family, gathered around a piano or a guitar, or maybe even gathered around YouTube with some musicians there to help you, singing with your voices to the Lord. You are made to worship, and so God wants you to respond as well, to listen to God's word and respond. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25 remind us that true worshipers, they hear the word of God. It comes in their ears, and then they do something with it. They respond to it. So I want to ask you, you don't have a weekly gathering every week where we're gathering to hear the word of God preached. Right now it's coming to you online, and I'm super glad that you're tuned in right now watching this or listening to this. But I want to ask you, as your pastor, every single week, every Sunday, to tune into the preaching of God's word, even if it's coming online from our church, and listen to the preaching of God's word every single Sunday. We want to be passionate disciples or passionate worshipers and also disciples. When we talked about the discipleship aspect in this sermon series, one of the things that came out, I think the most important things right now is that God calls you to dwell with Jesus. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says, "And he appointed 12, Jesus appointed 12 men, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him." So that they might be with him. You've got to dwell with Jesus. What are you taking in right now? If you're like me, you're taking in a lot of news right now, a lot of information, a lot of current event info. But are you dwelling with Jesus and taking in the Word of God? actually think, though you may have more time right now than normal, for some of you, you could spend less time with God. And we're going to make sure while we're taking in all this info, all this current event, all this stuff coming down the pipe at us so fast, that we're dwelling with Jesus. The presence of Jesus is where you rest. It's where your faith is bolstered and your fears trickle away. The presence of Jesus is where you feast. The presence of Jesus is where you recharge. And I just want to encourage you, make sure you're finding time for that. Second basic Christian responsibility that you have is that you must be meaningfully engaging with others as a spiritual comrade. Acts 2:42, again, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and then it says to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. That word fellowship reminds us that we share together in a common life. We share life together in the heavenly realm as Christians. Ephesians chapter 1 says that God has blessed us. It doesn't say it's blessed me or that it's blessed you, but that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And that's talking about our salvation. It's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those heavenly blessings are not uniquely yours. They are ours. We share the God of the gospel. He is ours. And we share the grace of the gospel. Jude chapter 1 verse 3 says that we have a common or a shared faith, a common salvation in Christ Jesus. And we know as God's people that we will share together in the glory of the gospel one day. According to 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1, we are fellow partakers in the glory that is going to be revealed, a reference there to the second coming of Christ, when we will see him and we will be like him. That's what we have to look forward to. So we've been united in Christ in the heavenly realm, and that needs to manifest and express itself on the ground level. We share life together on the ground level, and that's crucial at every time, and it's definitely crucial at this time that we share this life together on the ground level. It's important, I think, to note here of this sharing of life together, of this fellowship, that it's not something that we find. I think sometimes people will leave one church and go to another hoping to find fellowship there. That maybe they'll connect with people there more than they did at the last place. Fellowship isn't something we find. It's something that we possess positionally. And it's something that we build practically. It's not something that we find. It is something that we build. And I think that you need to get that driven into your head as I need it to be driven into my head again and again and again and again. We build this thing called fellowship. These people devoted themselves to life together. Fellowship means that we do things like live out the one another type of passages in the Bible. We weep with those who weep, Romans 12:15. We rejoice with one another. We confess our faults to one another. We love one another. We spur one another on to love and to good works. we bear each other's burdens. And when we sin, we seek to come alongside one another and restore each other. And the list could go on and on of these one another's, these different ways that we live out our life and spiritual community with one another. But a lot of those things right now, how we do those is maybe going to become a little bit challenging and probably going to have to rely on technology and electronics to a much higher degree than maybe we normally would. What this probably means is that you're going to need to pick up your phone and you're going to need to call people. Some of you are phone people. You could talk on the phone for hours. Others of you hate the phone. As soon as you get on it, you just want to get off it. But if you're going to live out some of these one another things, you're probably going to have to spend more time on the phone, calling people, emailing people, praying over the phone. I know we have people right now. We've got some ladies doing a Bible study, some men trying to do a Bible study. Those things could just fall by the wayside. Maybe you think, well, next week, everything will be back to normal. What if it's not? What if this takes some time? I just want to encourage you, find ways to fight for those things. Maybe using electronic resources like Zoom, where you can all get together online at the same time, if possible. Many of you, your kids are home. It's just got so crazy. But fight for what's really important. Make time for it, even if it takes work. we share together in a close relationship, and we share in our resources. At one point, the early church had all things in common, Acts 2:44. God's people should be quick to part with their resources to help those in need. Hebrews 13:16 says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Also, Romans 12:13 says, "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." Back in that Hebrews chapter 13 passage that I read, it says, "Such sacrifices are pleasing to God." To share in our resources sometimes really is a sacrifice. And I don't know that many of us have known that much. I think some of our people have more than others. And I don't know to what degree that might be the case in the future. But God's people do that. They sacrifice for one another. We share materially, we share monetarily, etc. And practically that might look right now like you helping someone financially as a need arises. People are losing their jobs right now, and it's not really within their control. We're just in such a unique situation, and we need to have our eyes and ears out for each other and be willing to help each other as those needs arise and they're legitimate. Maybe it looks like helping people shop right now. I know, just thank you, by the way, to those who, many of the people who have offered to help us as we've been isolated in quarantine, more or less. Thank you so much for your help and some meals that have come our way. That's been a great blessing. And we may find our church just kind of in a cycle where you need help one week and then you're able to help the person, someone else the next. And we just need to keep doing that, loving each other, caring, and looking after one another. By the way, I think in a time like this, I love our church. I think our church is super strong, actually, in this regard. And I think relationships are being formed regularly and on spiritual levels. But I think our church, just like any other church, has people that I would kind of call island people who aren't living in spiritual community. And maybe they're just showing up at church on Sunday and they don't have their roots down spiritually with people. That's never good. But if that's been you historically or recently, do you realize how precarious of a position you are in right now when we can't even gather? And no one can fix this problem for you. You have to fight for fellowship. You have to care. You have to initiate. Do not be an island person. A third basic responsibility is to be meaningfully engaging with ministry as a sacrificial servant. You may recall that we looked at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. I just want to read that verse again. It says, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do." When we looked at this verse and the one that preceded it, we learned that service provides assurance, basically, of salvation. Obviously, we don't work our way into heaven, but what the passage is talking about is people who are saved, that's what they do. If they've been reborn, if they have put their faith and trust in Christ and been made new, they serve the people of God. It's just what Christians do. And that service shows love. It takes work. It definitely requires consistency and faithfulness. And it ultimately brings reward. God doesn't overlook those labors of love and serving other people. So how right now can you invest for eternity by ministering to the needs of others and of the saints in particular? Some of you have watched your retirement portfolios tank within the last couple of weeks. At the beginning of this month, I decided that I was going to invest about $250 in an energy ETF. And I did that because as I had been looking at energy from the best that I could tell, and I'm not really an investment guru by any means, but from what I could tell, it looked like energy was about as low as it had been in several years. And the only way it could go was up, right? And so I put my $250 in this ETF that I had researched and thought would be a good investment. And as I think probably most of you are aware, within the last couple of weeks, oil prices dropped through the floor. I read something about oil being at $9 a barrel in Alberta right now. And that $250 investment that I made is currently worth $130. That stinks. And that's a microcosm of what's going on, a very, very small, minute microcosm of what's going on all around the globe right now. And you might be worried about that. You might be concerned. Listen, do you want to invest well right now? If you want to invest well, you need to do the basics and invest in eternity by serving Christ and his people. And while your earthly investments might be dropping through the floor, you can be laying up treasures in heaven right now, today, by serving the people of God. What are you going to do to serve? I think you might have to be creative right now, but there are actually opportunities all around you and all around me. And I'm sure if you humbly pray and you just ask God, God, I want to serve. I want to do this. Help my eyes to see opportunities. Help me to take advantage of those and serve the people of God however I can in this time. Fourth basic Christian responsibility is you must be meaningfully engaging with the lost as a faithful evangelist. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. It's your responsibility, we noted, to do three things: to meet people, to love them, and to tell them about Jesus. Those three things. Meet people. That's kind of complicated right now because you were just told to self-isolate. You're probably not meeting a whole lot of new people at the moment. You know what? That's okay. But there are many people who you've already met, you already have connections with. Maybe you've known them for years, if not decades, if not a lifetime. And God wants you, with these people that you've met, to love them. According to Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. I love that verse. Just giving us a window into God's heart and his priorities. Matthew chapter 9:36 says of Jesus that when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. When you see crowds of people at Costco right now, for example, clamoring over toilet paper of all things. I actually haven't personally witnessed this because we've been in our house, but many of you have been out, you've been to the grocery store, you've seen empty shelves, you've seen people, many of them being selfish and only concerned about their own priorities. When you see that, how do you respond? You realize you have something those people do not have, and it's not toilet paper. It's hope. It's security. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the privilege of knowing that your sins have been paid for, that the wrath of Jesus Christ has been satisfied, and that your hope goes beyond this life. As we watch people all around us try to cope with this crisis, we, like Jesus, should be moved with compassion. And from that compassion should flow love. We need to love the lost around us and find ways to demonstrate that. Check on your neighbors. Give while others are taking. Maybe go through your contact list on your phone and just see who can I connect with that doesn't know Christ, and just love them and minister to them. Maybe drop groceries off on their doorstep, a phone call, whatever. We need to meet people, love them, and ultimately tell them about Jesus. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That means that if people are going to be saved, they need to hear what the Bible says about Jesus, and it's your job to tell them. It's your job to tell people about the sacrifice that Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, made for them to satisfy the wrath of God as their substitute, so that peace could be secured between them and God the Father if they would repent and believe. That is your job. It's my job to tell people that. I think God is using this crisis right now to slow people down and shake them up and open up gospel opportunities for you and for me. This last week, I tried to get a hold of pretty much everyone or everyone's family from our church. Didn't quite succeed, but I talked to just about everyone. And I heard a lot of neat things going on. And people telling me about their workplace and people coming into their office and asking questions like, why are you so calm right now? And then the opportunity to share the gospel. I've had multiple conversations like that this week. Also heard about people who have been on our church prayer list, people that we've been praying for that they would trust Christ, and all of a sudden, those people reaching out to our church people with questions and searching to some degree for the answers and wanting to know more about God and God doing a work in those people's hearts. And we need to pray that God would save these people, that he would do an awesome work and saving the lost around us, that he would use us as part of that process, that we'd just faithfully share the word of God, faithfully obey the Great Commission and see what God does. I think God's going to do awesome things spiritually in our church and in our community, and that we want to be there to be a part of that. God, Christ has promised to build his church, and it's paramount that we just keep being the church, that we stick to the basics, that we devote ourselves to them and just see what God has done. Just real quickly as we wrap up, I want to encourage you. We normally have table time. We can't do that because we can't meet in person. But if you're a part of our church, I'd encourage you to pick up your phone and basically have table time. Maybe we could call it something like tech time, where you fellowship around what's just been said, the scriptures that we've looked at together with other people. And also pray that our church would do these basics. Pray that you would do these things. Take some time now to do that very thing. Thanks for tuning in. And hopefully we'll see you sooner than later.